Welcome to the Hunger for Change podcast, the ultimate destination for unraveling health myths and uncovering the truth that the industry has hidden from us for far too long. Today, I'm absolutely thrilled to introduce Brian Sanders, a true pioneer in the debunking of some of the biggest health scams of the modern era. Brian is a force to be reckoned with. As the brilliant filmmaker behind the anticipated Food Lies documentary, he fearlessly challenges the status quo and seeks to revolutionize our understanding of nutrition. As the host of the esteemed Peak Human podcast, Brian has engaged in captivating conversations with the brightest minds in the field, shedding light on the secrets to optimal health. Additionally, Brian co-founded Sapien, a health education company dedicated to spreading knowledge and inspiring transformation. But Brian's impact doesn't stop here. He's on a mission to raise awareness about regenerative agriculture and promote access to ethically raised animal products through his company Nose to Tail. His dedication to sustainable and responsible farming practices is reshaping our food system for the better. So, are you ready to expand your understanding of nutrition and challenge everything you thought you knew? Welcome, Brian, to the Hunger for Change podcast.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So, Brian, first of all, what does health mean to you?
Oh, man. Well, it's more than the absence of disease. That's for sure. Some people just think it's not being in a hospital bed or not taking medications. But over the years, as I've gone on my journey and kind of reached a more optimum health, I realized it's feeling good every day, waking up, having a strong body that I can play sports. I can do whatever I want. I'm actually turning 40 in less than 2 weeks. And I still play beach volleyball for 3.5 hours on Saturday morning, or I'm just starting a flag football league because I played football my whole life. I can do anything I want. I don't take any medication. I don't take any over-the-counter medications.
And have you always been this healthy?
No. I mean, growing up, I was athletic and I was fine. And then you can get away with a lot when you're young. And then as I got into my 20s, I was way less healthy. I have these photos of me in my 20s and I was sort of pudgy and inflamed. You know, my face was round and I had sort of a belly and I was like kind of skinny fat. And that's when I was doing everything correctly.
Yeah.
I was eating the food pyramid. Like I was making all my meals, doing low fat products, lean chicken.
Yeah.
I was doing the whole thing supposedly correctly. I wasn't just going out to eat trash like fast food. And I was getting unhealthier as I went.
That sounds familiar to me. I've always been doing a lot of sports since I was young, running marathons and Ironmans and triathlon. And, you know, I was always in shape, but I was a sugar addict. So when I quit sugar, refined sugar, you know, like 15 years ago, that's when I felt so much better and I began to thrive. So being... like look like you're fit doesn't, it's not the same as being healthy, right?
Oh yeah. And the blood markers, you have to like look at your triglycerides and stuff like that. Who knows? I mean, you can outrun a bad diet for a certain amount of time, but it catches up to you.
Yeah. As you get older, your body doesn't really, there's not the buffer as you have when you're younger, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I read so much about the documentary that is coming out. Can you please share some of the inspiration behind the documentary? What motivated you to challenge the common narratives around nutrition?
Well, there's a few stories. One is the vegan narrative was kind of taking over. That was the line in the sand. Once that happened, it was the last straw when I saw What the Health. People know the vegan documentaries.
Yeah, I know.
Partly was because my own health journey that I was already on for 3 years. I already realized, you know, what true health could be when I changed my diet. But then 3 years prior to me making the film was also my family tragedy, where basically I lost both my parents. It was sort of a slower process. My mom has Alzheimer's and is technically still around, but she's been unresponsive for 3 years now. In the last stages of Alzheimer's. So this really kicked off around 9 years ago when I started my health journey. And then I lost my dad to cancer. And I think that this was because of the modern diet and lifestyle. And they were also trying to do the correct things and did the food, you know, government recommended diet, and we didn't eat out a lot, rarely at all. We didn't eat out. People, you know, so many people in the US just eat completely objectively bad foods, right? They're just eating McDonald's and fast food and candy. And this is not us. Yeah. This was definitely not us. So they just slowly got sicker, and their blood, no one told them their blood markers were pre-diabetic. No one told them they were getting all the signs of metabolic syndrome, you know, the pre-diabetes. No one told them. And that just happens. And that's how so many Americans, so many people around the world, I don't know why I'm saying Americans. We just kind of lead the way, right?
Totally. Yeah.
But yeah, so I just had to do something. I'm like, this isn't that hard to change your diet, right? I mean, maybe in the beginning, change is not fun. Humans don't like to change. But once I made these simple changes, I felt amazing. And I thought the food tastes better anyway, you know? Yeah. And so I just was like, I need to tell the world about this, because it's not hard. It's empowering. It's fun. It's delicious. And we're trying to make the biggest health film ever made, because there's been films made, you know, there's some okay ones, you know, there's some kind of Michael Pollan films that are kind of bad, you know, but they're kind of like, oh, eat more plants and like, let's eat the rainbow and just eat smaller amounts. It's like this old messaging that I don't like. Yeah. It's like, oh, let's just, the whole thing is like, oh, let's just have a smaller plate. The conclusion was like, buy smaller plates so you don't eat so much. I'm like,
and you're always hungry, right? You always walk around hungry.
Yeah, it's like, just eat the same. Well, eat healthy foods, but just eat less of them and just eat mostly plants. And I just don't like this message. You can't just sit there and be hungry for your life. You need to eat different foods. You need to change your foods, and then you won't be hungry. So yeah, I just wanted to tell the world.
That's great. Actually, I also lost my father in due to cancer, and just as you said, I'm sure that he was pre-diabetic, but nobody told him. I'm pretty sure. So that's actually that's funny, because that's the same motivation that you had, the same inspiration as you had, my father. So when we will be able to see the film?
Yeah, it's a long project. It's been 6 years. We've traveled around the world. We went to Tanzania and filmed with the hunter-gatherers and the Maasai, and we've been all over North America. But we're looking to get on big platforms, right? We want to get this on Netflix, something worldwide where everyone can see it. And that's probably going to be in the beginning of next year by the time it actually gets out.
Cool. So I understand that in this documentary, you talk about the hundreds of millions of reasons why we should eat meat. If you would have to pick three of those millions of reasons as an elevator pitch, what would those be?
Yeah. Well, first, our bodies are designed for meat. We became human because we ate meat and animal foods. This is why we are here today. It's what our digestive system is designed. We got these big brains, and we went away from our ancestors with a change in gut because of meat, right? So our body requires it. Meat is a more nutrient dense and bioavailable source of protein and vitamins and minerals. Our body can digest them easier than trying to get them from plants. Plants are, you know, the secondary form. It's more of a fallback food. There's nothing wrong with plants, right? I eat different plant foods with every meal. It's just our bodies can't get the same things from them. And a lot of people don't know this, right? This is a foundation of the film and of a human diet and everything, is that we are designed to eat meat and fat and animal foods. So that's the main reason, right? And then when you get down to the other two, it's kind of just branched off of that. It's, you could say it's the bioavailability, right? Mm. I guess would be the second argument, is that, like I just said, it is more bioavailable. The vegans say, why do we need to eat the cow when we could just eat the grains, you know, something like that? And I'm like, well, and they call them a middleman. They're like, oh, this is just the middleman. Why don't you cut out the middleman and just eat the plant straight? And I said, these are very important middlemen. These cows are incredible. They're upcycling low quality nutrition from grass.
It's a miracle, right? They convert grass into a protein that we can actually absorb.
It's it. It's a miracle. We can't replicate that. All if you want to jump to fake meat, we're never going to replicate the miracle of a cow taking grass and sun and water and turning it into a perfect nutrition source. So that's number two. And number three, it's so good. It tastes good and it keeps you full. So I guess those are kind of related, right? Like a satiety. Yeah, I'm really into this concept of satiety and like being full. And that's what we were saying before, right? You can't just be hungry all the time and try to eat a salad with no meat on it. And, you know, then it's not going to work. So meat is delicious to 99% of humans and we should enjoy it. And we should enjoy being full and not being hungry.
Totally agree. I see that you don't talk about a diet. You prefer to talk about a lifestyle. Why is that?
Well, diets don't work. There's all these stats, you know, 80 to 95% of diets fail. Part of it is because it has an ending, right? People think, oh, I'm just going to do this diet and then I'm going to go on my trip this summer and then I'm going to eat whatever I want. It never works. This makes no sense. It's why I hate 90% of dietitians out there, influencers, all the people out there. They're all just pitching this short-term plan. They don't know what they're actually talking about when they're talking about nutrients and what the body needs. And it's kind of a gimmick to me. And maybe they can work short-term, right? Anything can work short-term.
Exactly. It's something short-term, right? Something temporary.
Well, yeah, a professor actually in the U.S. ate Twinkies for a couple of weeks and lost weight. Yeah. You know, it was stupid. Of course, if you just eat like a very small amount of Twinkies, you can lose weight. That doesn't mean anything for your health or for what's a good diet or getting protein, right? That's just an example of why it's so stupid that you need a good diet is long-term. It's all that you need all of the protein and nutrients and you can't think short term.
Totally. So we're often told that grains have been an important part of our evolution. So when you have a look at your research on human dietary changes, what would you say about this? Is it that important?
So grains are a great way to feed a lot of people. So the agricultural revolution between 10,000-15,000 years ago was great for feeding people, but we didn't really understand that it was low quality nutrition. That it was more about we needed calories to survive, and actually there was negative consequences to that. We got shorter, our brains got smaller, we had more disease, we were less robust, our bones are thinner even. So they look in the archaeological record and they can see a hard line in the sand before agriculture and after agriculture. And you can immediately see how frail humans got after eating all these grains in our diet and how much more disease. And they can see, you know, lesions on the bones that are left from this disease. So it's, you know, it was an experiment. Basically, we didn't know, right? We didn't know that this was going to happen. And it got a lot of people really wealthy. Actually, the side story is that's how the wealth disparity happened, right? Yeah. Let's start when we went from a more egalitarian kind of society that was more on equal level playing field to kings and peasants.
Totally. What about the native communities that are known for relying on grains, such as the South American indigenous groups? Did they always rely on grains?
No. Yeah, they we're all hunter gatherers at one point, right? And we would just get what was around us and get animals and collect fruit and tubers and stuff like that. But the South Americans did, you know, at some point start relying on some corn products and stuff like that. But they actually do a lot of different techniques, and they had to do these techniques to detoxify them from the anti-nutrients and actually unlock more of the nutrients. So there's a lot of B vitamins that are in these grains that they developed that you can't access, and they have to use lye to get them to they soak it in lye, and it unlocks these nutrients. So and of course they're not using glyphosate and other chemicals and all that stuff, right? So it's very different grain. They had these techniques to help unlock more nutrients. And yes, it was a source of calories. I mean, we always needed calories over the years, right? but we still got our main nutrients and protein from animal foods.
Right. And so making this documentary, what is the most fascinating thing that you discovered about the human diet?
Oh, wow. Well, I've actually gone on a journey myself where I used to think there was kind of more one way to do it. Like you said, like I'm more into this framework, not a specific diet, right? So I think in the beginning, I was just looking at it under this lens of, oh, yeah, we just need to cut all carbs, basically, like get rid of sugar, get rid of grains, get rid of carbs, and everyone's going to be healthy. And then along the way, I realized that that was a great option. And I think it's awesome. And I think a lot of people should do it.
Yeah.
Maybe most people should do it. But then you don't have to just do things one way. You don't have to be low carb for life. You don't have to be carnivore. You don't have to be keto. You don't have to be low carb. There's different ways to do a healthy diet that can be higher carb. Because if you look around the world, there's many populations that eat high amounts of carbs and are very healthy because they're eating natural foods. They're eating sweet potatoes and seafood and what, you know, it's a perfectly good diet. It just happens to be higher in carb and lower in fat. They're not avoiding fat. They just don't have that much fat in the animals around them. So they end up eating leaner seafood. They eat less, you know, big fatty animals like a cow and more smaller animals that have less fat on them. So they need to get their energy source and they have potatoes and whole foods and whatever else. And it's fine. It's great, right? They're not eating the most processed ingredients. They're not eating seed oils and added sugars and, you know, probably refined grains. So it's a perfectly fine way to eat. Right. So that's, yeah, does that make sense? It's like I zoomed out, right? I was like, oh, so there's not one way to do it. And I think the film got a lot better because we went away from this one approach. And now it's a very holistic approach in the sense of there's no holes in the theory, right? If you're in this like hardcore low carb world, there's holes in your theory, right? They're like, oh, well, then how are these people healthy that live in Okinawa in, you know, and they're eating mostly sweet potatoes? We're like, well, that fits in my dietary framework. That's fine.
We can see, I mean, it's clear that red meat has always been, has played a very important role on our evolution. So why do you think that so much effort has gone into changing this narrative? And I'm talking also long before the vegan movement. Why do you think there is so much effort in changing this narrative?
I've thought a lot about this. I have some answers for you. Part of me discovering some of these answers is starting my own meat business, which you mentioned is called Nose to Tail. Very hard business. I don't make any money from it. I actually might be getting out of that business because I'm losing money on it. So I very quickly learned how the world works. I mean, people already kind of know how the world works. It's based on money, right? It's very much based on money, power. There's always people at the top trying to make more money, big corporations trying to sell more products. And I kind of got it. And then I really got it once I did it on my own. And then I realized, okay, I have no profit margin. So I can't do anything. I can't hire people. I can't do marketing. I can't do much at all. Then I thought of the opposite. I'm like, okay, what if I had a cereal company or I made like cereal bars, like granola bars or something. Okay. Yeah. So I can get a bunch of cheap grains. I could put them in a package. I can, you know, make some kind of marketing claims of how healthy it is. And maybe this cereal granola bar costs me like 4 cents, right? The product itself costs nothing. It's just almost free, right? I just put a bunch of seed oils and added sugar and grains. Cost me 4 cents. I sell it for like $2 a bar and I say it's awesome.
So it's all about money. It's all about the market.
Right. Then, okay, I have so much money. Now I can do marketing campaigns. I can go all over the media. I can do lobbying. Yeah. I can go to the government. Like these big corporations, they lobby. I can go do studies. Like Barilla is a worldwide pasta company. They fund tons of studies that show that pasta is great.
That's crazy. Okay, so yeah, so the answer is it's about money, right? There are no margins on grass-fed meat, right? But I totally agree with what you say because the guys that I buy my grass-fed meat from, or my organic eggs or organic cheese, my raw goat milk, they do this as a hobby, basically, or it's not a big business. So I totally understand what you say. It's sad, but I think it's important that the consumer actually understands this, you know, and because if you buy the products that you see on the advertisement, you will always get something that is not nutrient dense, right? The margins are not there.
It's so clear to me now. Yeah. And hopefully people listening, sometimes you have to just stop and think about it. It's like everything that's being advertised for you, you realize that's for a reason. Someone's making a lot of money to afford these advertisements. Something's going on with this. You don't have your neighborhood egg guy or your mom and pop, you know, mom and dad, you know, raising the chickens and selling the eggs. They have no money. They have nothing to gain. So even with fruits and vegetables and produce, no one's making a lot of money off that either.
I know. It's sad, but that's why I think it's important to enlighten and to actually explain what is behind, what is driving the food business, right? So you just mentioned the nose to tail concept. Could you explain what that means, and why is it beneficial for not just for our health but also for our planet?
Absolutely, yeah. The concept of nose to tail, I didn't really get it until later. You know, you kind of, it's like, why? It almost was the opposite, where you hear about sausage, you're like, oh, those are like the offcuts, and that's like the bad stuff, and they throw everything in the sausage. So I kind of just flipped my whole idea behind that. That's all, those offcuts are actually good. You need to eat the collagenous bits, right? And for all of history, all of cultures too around the world, you guys over in Spain do it a lot better, right? Every other country than the US, they're eating all the bits and pieces. It's part of your culture.
I would say in Asia, they're really good at that. In Spain, yeah, we were good at that in Spain 50 years ago when we were having these cow intestines, but not anymore. That's such a shame. But Asian people are really good at this.
Asian people do it. I got a business partner in Greece. They're still doing it a bit. Oh, yeah. He's over at the street markets, and he's getting all the offal. You know, he's getting the organ meats. He's getting all kinds of stuff. So yeah, some people are still doing it. But the idea is that we ate the whole animal for all of history, right? I went to Tanzania. That's the correct way to pronounce it. I've realized Tanzania, and they eat the entire animal. They are sucking out every little bone, every little bone marrow. They are cracking open the brains and eating they are eating everything. And that gives us the whole spectrum of nutrients we need. So like, quick, not to get too technical, but basically there's different amino acids in meat, and there's methionine and glycine, and methionine is more in muscle meats and glycine is more in the collagen, right? So it's like bone broth and and stuff like that. And you need a balance of that. They did a study in rodents, and if you give them all methionine, they died earlier. And so people thought that red meat was bad. This is one of the tricks that, you know, these scientists use. They try to make red meat seem bad. Then they gave them a full spectrum of amino acids like you're supposed to eat with the glycine as well. The rodents lived just as long as any other rodent. It was fine. So it's just a good example of why you need to eat nose to tail. It's like some people are kind of waking up to this. There's a lot of collagen supplements these days, you know, and you can get, and or people are talking about bone broth. And so there is a reason for it, right? And like I said about the sausage, there is a reason we ate all the off cuts and the little bits and pieces. That isn't junk meat. I mean, maybe it's not as desirable to just chew on some like fatty, gristly meat, but if you can get it into a soup or you get it into sausage, there's a reason you eat it.
Totally. And I mean, it's delicious. I think it's such a shame that people eat less of these dishes, you know? They're not appreciated anymore, which I don't understand. I mean, I love bone broth. I love this bone marrow, put it in the oven. It's so easy to cook, but people just try to, they seem to appreciate more the filet mignon, you know, the lean meat.
I think this is a cultural shift that's a bit designed. right? There are the powers that be that really have a lot of money, the giant corporations, and they really are slowly pushing a narrative into just eat the chicken breast, right? It's like, it's almost like diabolical where they kind of sell you back the solution. They tell you things are bad, then they sell you back the solution. It's like, oh, and now we have a collagen supplement. And now we have, right, all these products you need.
You're right. You're right. Totally. Because out of that skin from the chicken, you make the collagen supplement and you sell it as in nice packaging. And it's really weird. We need to go back to where we were.
We need to go back. Yeah, we've just kind of lost the old ways. Part of it is, I feel like there's this big just push, agenda, narrative. It's just to push people away from the old ways. All the old ways are better. We don't have to go live in a cave. And, you know, it's not like we have to do that. But just realize all of these traditions that your grandparents had, like you said, 50 years ago, maybe, these are all healthier. These are all good.
Yeah, they were there for a reason.
That's a big thing I've discovered along the way, and I've spent time with different people in different cultures, and the older generation had it figured out, and it was better for the land too. I want to answer the second part of your question: or better for the environment, better for the world if you eat nose to tail?
Yeah,
because you're eating way more of the animal. There's multiple reasons, but I have a friend, Dr. Bill Schindler, who's great. He studies this stuff. He's just, you know, been doing this for years. They looked at a deer. He hunts, you know, he processes a deer. If you just take the regular cuts that you would buy, well, you know, equivalent, like if it was a cow, right? It's like, oh, the filet mignon, right? The ribeye, whatever. They looked at how many calories you got, then compared it to if you ate the entire animal nose to tail, you got the bone marrow, you ate all the pieces. It was double the calories. You got double the amount of calories out of the one deer.
Yeah. That's crazy. And you just mentioned, that's good for you, but also good for the planet. So what about regenerative farming, regenerative agriculture? I know that you emphasize in the importance of regenerative farming. Could you explain why this is not just good for us, for our health, but also for the environment?
Yeah, it's along the same lines of the old ways are better. This is all we used to have. Like, we didn't have industrial systems and it worked and the environment was fine and the soil was fine. Once we got into this industrial system and we kind of separated plants from animals, so we'd grow thousands of acres of a crop and then we'd have a bunch of cows on hundreds of acres of dirt, you know, and it didn't make any sense and it was more efficient. And I don't know if the US is in a made this habit. We're really good at doing things efficiently, but like in the wrong way. And we could grow tons and tons of calories this way, but it's ruining our soil. People probably have heard how nutrient depleted the soil is, right? It's turning to dirt. It's, I mean, not only nutrient depleted, but just completely depleted in general, where it's just dust and dirt and washing away. There's so many reasons why we need to go back to the old ways, this old system, which we all used to use around the world, which regenerative ag is basically holistic management, right? And that's kind of coined by Alan Savory. But basically it means you use methods to move animals around and not overgraze or undergraze the land. And that helps the soil and they have manure and they put nutrients back in the soil and it just works. It's like a very simple system and it's not that hard to just, you have different paddocks and you just move the animals around and you just have to be a little more thoughtful about it and we can do it.
Exactly. We need that ecosystem, right? We need to get away from the monocrops depending on fertilizers, depending on what are they called?
Pesticides.
Exactly, the pesticides. We need to get back to that ecosystem where plants and animals live together, right?
Yeah, it's mixed agriculture. It's been done and it can be done on a large scale. There's a guy, Gabe Brown, that has 5,000 acre farm ranch, right? And he's growing plants and animals together. And it's like, okay, let's grow this here, then this. You move them around, it works.
Yeah. Okay, great. So if we shift to fasting. I know that you say that fasting is something that you see as something normal. Because we're so used to having to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. We eat 3, 5, 6 times a day. It hasn't always been like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Kind of like this idea of intermittent fasting has been around for a fair amount of years now. It's getting kind of popular. And to me, yeah, that's just sort of more normal. I went to Africa, right? It's not like they had a refrigerator or they had some sort of way to just get food. They had to go get the food. But nowadays they want a snack all the time. It's kind of hard to undo modern society though, right? It's like once we've opened that box, it's hard to go back. But if you get used to this idea, well, really it's just a normal eating pattern. And maybe you can have breakfast, right? It's not like everyone needs to fast every day. And you just need to be more mindful and be more normal. Like, let's just not eat till we go to sleep and then wake up and start eating again. I mean, give your digestive system a break. Like, you find you're not hungry. Like, I really don't get hungry until lunch, right? But again, not saying that everyone has to do this all the time. And there's different ways to do it, but you feel so much better when you're not eating. It's kind of like,
I agree. And when you eat, you have another kind of appetite and everything tastes so much better.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So your company, Sapien, promotes a certain food framework. Could you explain to us how that differs from other popular diets or eating approaches?
Yeah. I'm trying to popularize the Sapien diet. I mean, not that I'm going to make any money off it, but there's no good name, Sapien framework, right? Whatever, for this way of eating. That paleo, amazing, right? There's different animal-based diets, amazing. Low-carb diets, all good, right? There's so many good ways. Even pescatarian, that's fine, right? We're eating whole foods, we're eating fish. So I kind of just wanted to get this idea that all of these diets can be good, and let's just call them something.
So what is the difference? We have the paleo diet, you have the pescatarian diet, and Sapien.
They're the same thing. So that's what my whole point is that all, in my eyes, all good diets are kind of the same. And so why? How? I don't get it, right? Because if you're saying, hey, a pescatarian diet's good and a carnivore diet's good, they're like, that's opposite. I'm like, they're not opposite. They're the same. And here's why. Nutrients versus energy. So this, we go into the film, it's a 6-part series now, not just one documentary film. And we go into this in length. So I'll try to do it quickly for the audience. Your body wants nutrients and it wants energy, right? And for all of history, it's got those in the correct amounts, right? If we ate foods from nature, we got the correct amount of nutrients, which means protein, vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids. Mm. And we got energy in the form of fats or carbs. And if you go out in nature, and you collect foods and you eat what you can, you get the right amount of nutrients and the right amount of energy. Right now, everyone has too few nutrients, I think, too low in protein, too low in all the vitamins and minerals, and too much energy, right? They're getting too much energy from empty calories, from fats or carbs, okay? So we need to look, the Sapien framework and all good diets basically are balancing the nutrients to energy correctly. Right. That's why I hate the calorie counting. Calorie counting is stupid because you're not differentiating between what kind of calories. Are we talking about protein and nutrient calories? Or are we talking about sugar, like an oil calories? Right. Very, very different. So what you need to do is it's nutrient density, right? What is nutrients versus energy? Basically, to get technical, that's nutrient density. It's like you're kind of doing a math equation, right? Of how many nutrients per calorie you're getting. And that's pescatarian. If you're eating a bunch of seafood and a bunch of vegetables and all this stuff, you're not eating empty calories. You're not getting a bunch of extra energy. You're getting all your nutrients. Same thing with a more meat-based diet. You can eat like a paleo meat-based diet. You're eating tons of red meat. You're eating eggs. You're eating all the good raw milk and dairy and you're eating whatever, right? Yeah. You're fine because you're not eating excess refined energy, empty calories. So that's what I'm trying to like tell the world. It's a bit complicated because people just want to know, oh, well, I eat carnivore and it's easy and I get it. And I just eat meat. And I'm like, oh, well, I do this. Like everyone wants the name and the rules. I'm like, okay, there's no rules to this diet. You need to actually know a little bit more about food and understand the difference between nutrients and energy.
Totally. But Okay, so what you just explained, it sounds reasonable. I completely get it, but for a lot of people, they find it hard to take that theory and put it into their lives. What would you say? What techniques do you recommend for someone that is looking to adopt sustainable lifestyle changes? Not just something that they do for a week or for a month, that what we talked about earlier about a diet. You want this to be a life, a change of your lifestyle. What should they do?
Okay. So yeah, the first part of the question is a great question. It's like, cause it's more of a mental model, right? Or this is like it's a framework. It can guide you if you know what you're doing. But what are nutrient-dense foods? Like, what are these foods? Well, it's basically all animal foods are nutrient-dense. So if you're looking at all the different animal foods and certain whole foods, right? Like mainly, well, I don't count bread or pasta as a whole food, right? That's a refined product. So if you're eating whole foods, plant or animal, you're getting the correct nutrient to energy ratio, you're winning the battle. The minute you start processing it, you go away from that, right? So it's like how to do it in real life is eat more protein and eat real foods on the side, and you're gonna win this battle. Like get animal protein and eat whole foods. And I know people aren't gonna be perfect and eat only whole foods, but it's like just limit the processed foods as much as you can, and it's going to work. So I don't know if that's still too broad, but it's just like get whole foods, make the foundation of your diet animal protein, whole foods, fruits, vegetables, just real food.
And do you think there is like a threshold, a timeline that you need to do this for at least 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 3 months? Is there somewhere there's a tipping point when you start to crave for whole foods instead of processed food?
It could be years, honestly. I think some people can see the benefits in days. So if you just start eating real foods and you're getting, you know, good meat, and you can feel great within a couple of days. I've seen it, and I've talked to a lot of people. But the journey might be years where you slowly get rid of these cravings for these foods. And so, I don't want to say like how it's going to be. I mean, after a couple months, yes, I think people will see such great benefits and they'll feel better, but they can still, you know, have these desires, right? That our whole society is set up for people to buy fast food and processed foods. It's hard to resist. But I mean, it took me years to really just not even want it anymore. Right. It could take years where you just don't think about it. Like, I have no desire. It doesn't take me willpower to not eat those foods. Right. No. They're just not in my radar anymore.
And what do you say to those that are worried about their cholesterol levels, eating meat and seafood?
That's a hard one because there's nuances there. But in general, cholesterol was something we got wrong. I've interviewed many cardiologists about this. I mean, you can go back and listen to my Peak Human episodes with many cardiologists that talk about this, and we'll do it in the film too. It's just something we got wrong, right? We had this simple idea. If you eat cholesterol that like from eggs or from seafood, that's just going to go in your arteries. That's not how the body works. No. Really the big problem with having buildup of plaque in your arteries and all this stuff is from the processed ingredients. It's so obvious, right? It is the processed ingredients that, you know, there's a cascade of things that happen to your body, right? Metabolically, that then produces the plaque in your arteries. It's not just you eat cholesterol and it goes in your vein. We produce cholesterol naturally, right? There's no way this is bad for us. If you don't eat cholesterol, your body will produce it. Sure. And also, I mean, people who eat high cholesterol, high animal food diets, they actually get better metabolic markers. If you look at your blood work, there's triglycerides, there's different types of cholesterol. You'll get lower triglycerides and higher HDL, which is a good thing if you eat these diets.
Yeah. There's also money involved, right? There's an industry here making money out of medication, lowering your cholesterol, etc. So it's also what we talked about before. Money is always important. Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a study that shows that older people do better with higher cholesterol.
Totally.
Right, as you age, it's yeah. necessary for your body. It makes your hormones. Mm. It's mm. a building block of life. It's so crazy that yeah, these yeah, I think statins is, you know, $1 trillion industry
yeah.
and
yeah.
it's crazy.
That's crazy. So, looking ahead, what are your future products? Well, you told us that the film's going to be up in 2024, the beginning of 2024. So I suppose that your focus is to finish this product, right? But what do you think would happen? What will happen after that? What do you have future products?
Oh wow! Well, I mean, I just love like just getting the word out there. I think this is going to be a huge film series that's going to change the world, where people wake up. We're spending a lot of time to make it that good. Where we're putting all this information. I mean, you've been probably researching this for decades, right? Just reading, right. Yeah. You know, doing all this stuff. People aren't going to do that. You need to get this all in one package where they can watch it and it's six episodes. And by the end, their mind will be blown. They'll be like, whoa, it's all there, right? It's like, this is our masterpiece. And then from there, it's just like, how do we get people to the next step? Like make the next series, give them more information, like dive down each other rabbit hole, right? It's like, okay, we can study cancer, Alzheimer's, we can like go more into the cholesterol, we can more into regenerative ag, so, you know, just keep going.
I'm so much looking forward to watch it. So when you traveled filming, you said Tanzania, what was the most fascinating about that part of the world and how they eat?
You know what it was? I just was thinking about this lately. And okay, so one, they eat, they go out and hunt, they do everything, right? They're just all about animal foods. Their whole day is around getting animal foods and hunting.
Yeah.
We saw all the way from the hunter-gatherers all the way into the city, right? And as you got closer to the city, the unhealthier they got, right?
Really?
So it's like the healthiest people are the farthest away from the city and living the most natural. And then we saw some other villages that were a little closer to the city and they were just less healthy. And then, you know, as you get to the city, then everyone's the most unhealthy. But the most surprising part was really crazy. Actually, we spent some time with this agricultural group and all they could afford and all they had access to was mostly plant foods. They did not have much animal protein in their diet, but they're eating mainly whole foods, right? They're growing crops and they're just living off bananas. And I guess they had some cornmeal. They had to rely on some cornmeal. They had very little meat in their diet. And they were not healthy. The older people were hunched over. They had aches and pains and problems. Yeah. And we didn't see that, right? If the people living like they're supposed to, they were out hunting and running and they were, you know, in their 70s. And this guy was running up a hill and like faster than we could run up the hill. Yeah. And then we get to this group of 70-year-olds and they look like Americans and, you know, modern Western civilization 70-year-olds that are hunched over and kind of just not doing well. So that was really eye-opening.
And still they didn't eat processed food, but they had corn flour and they had
zero processed foods. They could never afford processed foods. There was no processed foods around. They had cornmeal. They call it ugali, right? They mix cornmeal with water. If they can get some milk, they can put some milk in it. But then they just ate plants. They just had like crops. And so they just had a very, very low
poor diet.
But this is incredible to me is that because I thought like as long as you're eating whole foods, you're going to be good, but you're not going to be good by the time they were like 60, 70, they had all the problems. So it's like you
need that animal based food. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you say is the hardest part of going against the mainstream narrative about nutrition? What is the most like, where's the biggest struggle?
Well, it's a personal struggle. It's hard. So like I said before, no one wants to change. The whole society is set up against you. You kind of have to radically change your mindset and your lifestyle to get away from the big industry and all the processed foods. right? It's hard. You know, I'm not going to say it's easy because I've seen it. My own family members can't do it, right? Yeah. There's certain, like, you're just trapped in this system, and it's just, I don't want to call out any of my family members, but there's someone that just, like, this is what my wife cooks and this is what we do. And I don't know what else to do. Right. Yeah. It's like, what am I going to do? Like, tell her she's not going to learn about it. She's not going to change. And everywhere you go to the office thing. And then there's all the foods. Then you go to someone's birthday and it's just all bad stuff. I'm not going to make it sound easy. We kind of do need to just shake up society. You need to kind of make new friends. Even you have to find people around you that do this. I think that maybe is the best tip for change and for getting healthy and working against the system is finding people around you that agree and want to do it. And that's what I've done. I've moved to a different part of the US into Texas where a lot of people are about this. And now I have this great community and we all do it together and it's way easier. Yeah. Right. It's pretty extreme maybe for some people, but you need to educate people around you. And then when you have a family barbecue or a big meal, everyone's on the same page. Right. Yeah. And then everyone brings the right foods and then you can have a great meal and you're going to feel better after, and you're not going to, you know, feel bad the next day. And it's going to be great.
Yes. So where did you live before?
I lived in Los Angeles.
Okay. So Texas is easier to find this kind of community than in California?
It is. California, there's a lot of vegan stuff going on. I was in like Santa Monica. People heard of Santa Monica, Venice Beach, you know, those kind of like areas, a lot of plant-based influence there. Texas, people eat meat. There's a lot of ranches. People are about freedom. They're on a different vibe. Yeah, people know the US, Texas is about meat and freedom and, you know, just independence and doing your own thing and, you know, less of like, let's have less of the government involved, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I need to go there. That's for sure. I interviewed Judy, Nutrition with Judy. She's from there as well, isn't she?
She's in Austin with me. Yeah.
She's in Austin. Exactly. Yeah. So, Brian, thank you so much. Where can people find you? Where can they find out more about what you do?
Yeah, just search Food Lies. I think the easiest thing I tell people is whatever platform, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, just search Food Lies and I'll be there.
Is there anything that you think that I missed so far?
Oh, wow. No, I think we hit it. Yeah, I like your idea. We have to go against big industry. You got to go against the corporations. I kind of always say whatever is passed on from the highest levels is good for them and not good for the individual. Right. So if you think of, I kind of changed the framing of everything in my life, right? Like, what are all these laws and rules for? They're just to keep people in line and make it easy for the government to keep track of, you know what I mean? It's not conspiracy stuff. I'm just talking about like totally normal. Yeah. It's just like, we have these rules. So people are easier to manage. It's hard to manage big groups of people, but you have to realize what's good for managing big groups of people is not good for the individual person.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. For the individual person, what's healthy is usually to do the opposite of what comes from the highest levels, right? Like, I'm going to eat my own fresh food. I'm not going to follow these guidelines. I'm going to do my own. I'm going to take health into my own hands. I'm not going to follow these big rules they had for the past 3 years. I'm going to take my own health into my own hands and be healthy. I don't need them to tell me how to be healthy with their idea of health.
Exactly. And that's not just about nutrition, about food. It's also about sun exposure, sunscreens. There's so many different things that if you follow the mainstream, of course, you're going to be the perfect client, the perfect consumer, you know, paying for all that crappy food and crappy sunscreens, but it's not good for you.
But yeah, you'll be in the system. That's a good way to think about it, right? This is a system and they basically have customers. And it's like, how do I not be a customer? It's like big pharma. That's a system. I don't have a doctor. I didn't have insurance for so long. I just don't need them. I don't need the system. It's like, how do you break out of the system? The sun is huge. Yeah. It's almost the opposite, right? I keep posting these things lately. They're like people trying to just say, oh, there's this article in the New York Times saying how to get zero sunlight this summer. How to get zero sun.
And I saw that. I saw that article. It was New York Times or something.
New York Times.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. She was covered. She and head to toe. She had gloves on and she had like this.
I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was a joke too.
It was for real.
For real. These people that just like do the opposite. It's like there's these pillars of being human. Yeah. And we need those pillars. And one of the pillars is food, of course, right? It's real food.
Yeah,
it's exercise, right? Some movement, right? This is so obvious. Like do some sort of movement, exercise, whatever. It's sun. Like it's being outside in the sun. These are foundations of being human. It's sleep. I mean, this is not news to anyone, but I mean, get your sleep. I used to just be like, oh man, who cares? Like, I'm just going to sleep 5 or 6 hours and, you know, drink coffee and be fine. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Like sleep is so important. And then the last pillar of being human is that community aspect, which is also great.
The social part is also very important.
So important.
So Brian, this was great talking to you. I'm so happy that you you had this at your time to talk to me. And I would love to stay in touch. And if you come to Spain, just let me know.
I will. Yeah, I'd love to go back and come to Austin. There's a whole thing going on here.
I will. I will for sure. And so much looking forward to 2024 to get to watch the Food Lies documentary.
I appreciate it. Yeah, watch the intro. If anyone wants to see the intro, it's on YouTube.
I saw it. I saw it a couple of days ago. The intro. So thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you so much for listening to the Hunger for Change podcast. I also wanted to take a moment to talk about Naturally, my brand of healthy food products. At Naturally, we are on a mission to change the world through what we eat. This is why we worked so hard to make products that are delicious and also good for you. They're all gluten-free and have no refined sugar. My personal favorites are the cheesy snacks, chocolates, and cacao hazelnut spread. We also have kale chips, granolas, nut bars, nut butters, and protein powders, as well as many cool snacks to be released this year. At the moment, Naturally is only available in Europe. You can head over to our website, naturally.com, and it will take you to our online store. If you're in Italy, Portugal, Germany, Poland, France, the Netherlands, or Sweden, you can find them in Amazon. Search for Naturally. I will leave all of these links in the description anyway, so that you can find them. Thank you so much for listening and stay tuned for the next episode.